Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Junkies back with you on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com. To join their team today. We thank you for tuning in this Wednesday morning. What is it? July 9th? July 10th?
July 9th.
July 9th.
July 9th.
Lock in. Lock in, buddy.
I wish it was the 10th.
I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Yeah. Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. And Jason Bishop.
Yeah, what's up?
Did you have your swim meet? Did they get it in?
Got it in. It was late. Oh. Finished at 9:45, something like that.
Right. Jeez.
Then she hadn't eaten, so we had to stop drive through. Drive through, got home, but you know, it's actually pretty standard. You get home a lot at that time. Uh-huh. You got a kid in activities.
Yeah.
So it just got pushed back like an hour and a half.
All right. They got it in. The storms were wild. I was out on the golf course and hoping it wasn't going to storm till about 4, and something came through around, 1:30, 2 o'clock. And then, of course, it opened up and it was beautiful for another hour and a half. Then another storm came through.
Yeah. So. That's the one that came through my hood around 4. Yeah.
Well, it was so hot.
So hot.
We needed it to break
brutal.
The weather.
It was so brutal. Hot.
But hey, we've got Mike Rizzo on the show. We should mention that because we didn't know whether we were going to have Mike on the show. He's going to be on today at 9 o'clock. You don't want to miss that.
Mm-hmm.
Our final sponsored segment with Mike Rizzo, but he agreed to come on after he was fired this week. So yep. We'll talk to Riz at 9 o'clock. Also, we're going to be giving you a cakes update. I think we probably should get into it now. So when I got back, I hadn't been looking at social media or anything. And all of a sudden, I see all these tweets about cakes getting interviewed on. Mm-hmm. Now, I thought it was TV. And Drab sent us. I guess it was online.
It was online, yeah. So when I got home.
But I recognized the lady. She's the one that does the TV stuff, right?
Might be. But it wasn't on TV. What can I tell you? It was online. I know Valdez sent out a link, and I literally had that on my computer for 5 straight hours last night, from 6 o'clock till about 11.
Mm.
And they never showed cakes until the interview.
Yeah.
Because there's quite a few tables there.
They had two, featured tables that the television production were heavy in.
Right.
But I knew they had cameras kind of floating around other tables. So I was kind of trying to see that.
I was trying to see if I could see his head or something.
And then also in tournament poker, if your table all of a sudden becomes a five-man table, you
got to move people around.
Yeah, you got to move people around.
For sure. As people get eliminated, if it gets too stack heavy, whatever it is.
So there was a possibility that cakes could have been moved to one of the two featured tables.
100%.
And I was just kind of sitting around
waiting.
That's why
I kept it open. Yeah. I kept it open. And, I ended up watching and getting involved in the Granu's table and Helmuth's table. Those were the two sort of featured tables for most of that time. And, I have to say I enjoyed it. I haven't watched a lot of poker over the last few years. It was kind of enjoyable to do. I thought the commentators were really good. And then I'm laying in bed.
Who are the commentators now?
I can't even remember.
It's not
irrelevant.
The Van Pattens anymore?
Well, it's online stuff, so it's irrelevant.
Okay. Yeah.
But I thought they were interesting. They gave good anecdotes. I thought they were doing a good job analyzing stacks and the play. But, I'm sitting there in a bed. I actually brought my computer up to the bedroom so I could kind of keep an eye on him as I try to figure out. I got my red light on. I got to try to figure out all these ways to go to sleep. And all of a sudden I see cakes. I'm like, what is going on? And you have the audio. So here is cakes. And maybe it's because he and Barstool Nate have been going back and forth. Somehow he had captured the attention of the WSOP people.
I think maybe. So the online, there's a chat.
Yeah.
And so they kind of engage with the chat, the commentators do a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking maybe the chat
kind of brought up Cakes' name. Brought up somehow. Somebody said that Cakes was actually trending on Twitter. I saw Cakes trending, but was that actually Cakes?
Yes, he was trending here in DC.
Or was that like about Cakes? Like that you eat?
Oh yeah.
No, it was about Johnny Cake Sawville.
Yeah, it's hard for me to imagine that, but okay.
Hey, he's a big story.
He got
a lot of interaction when he posted a double up.
Yeah.
To 500 some thousand.
Yeah, that blew my mind away.
At one point, he was like 40th in total chips after that double up.
Yeah, I saw as early. High as like 75th or something. I didn't know he was that high.
I thought, someone texted me and said he was like number 36.
That's probably what he's referring to.
Yeah.
So I think he had, did he have king to ace? Or was he paired a king?
No. He had kings against aces.
And then he hit a king.
I think some guy shoved pre.
Uh-huh.
And then I think he called and he hit a king.
Wow. It's
amazing.
That's what you need.
You do need a miracle.
So
like
where
that.
Is he currently?
I think he's got about 210,000.
So he had it up to about 600,000 and then it dropped to 210?
Okay. Yeah. So he's probably way below average at this point.
Average is like 310?
Yeah. So he's probably...
He's in 969th place.
Average chip stack is 395,000.
Yeah.
The blinds are currently 3,000, 6,000.
6,000? So 6,000 and 200 is
he
what?
He has 33 big blinds.
So he's doing got a little bit of play.
And
he's doing
great. He's only 17 away from the money.
Yeah.
So if I think he can sit on his stack.
He could sit on it in cash.
Probably could.
And I would advise it. unless he gets some monsters.
What was his biggest loss yesterday?
No idea.
Oh, really?
No idea. I mean, he
had three double ups at least.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, he had the two earlier, and then
he must have had a couple bad
king,
ones.
King, ace, ace. But, you have to give action to get action.
Yeah.
So I don't blame him. And I'm sure he probably got screwed a little bit.
Props to him. He's lasted
great.
3 days, heading into a fourth day of playing poker.
He's on
poker.
His way. He's going to cash, because I know him. He's not going to get involved this close to the money unless he just absolutely has it.
What's the min payment?
I think it's 15K, didn't you say?
15K.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. So he's got his own stake deal, so he gets his own percentage of that.
So you get about five?
Yeah.
So let's hear Cakes during his interview, which I guess was on YouTube yesterday.
All right, right now let's send it back to the floor. And our Natalie Bodie.
I'm here with John, a sports radio host out in D.C., playing in his very first main event. Why this year, John?
My good friends let's get this in the shot, GulfCoastPoker.net, that I met through MGM National Harbor back outside of D.C., they just reached out to me about 6 months ago and were like, do you want to go play in the World Series of Poker main event? We'll stake you. We've got an arrangement. I don't want to give all the details, but I was like, yes, of course, I'd love to play in the world's biggest poker tournament, the most prestigious poker tournament in the world. So I jumped at the opportunity, and here I am. It's been a blast so far, and just want to keep it going, obviously, as long as possible.
Very cool. And here you are on day three. What is it like to be in the World Series of Poker main event on day three?
It's awesome. I mean, I've watched WSOP, live highlights over the years. I drive my wife crazy every night at bed. I turn on WSOP like from 5, 10, 15 years ago. And I've always wanted to come out and play. And because I've gotten this opportunity, I'm taking full advantage of it. And it's a blast. I mean, just look around. Look at all these people that came out to, it's the third largest field, I believe, ever. And poker's just still killing it. And I'm glad to be a part of it. Glad to be out here.
It's going to be the last one for you because I'm going to have to send you back shortly. Sure. But what's been the coolest part?
I think just being here in Vegas, because I've envisioned myself here, for so many years, and to finally get the opportunity to get staked to do it and, hang out with some of my poker buddies from back in D.C. that are here, also playing in the main, has been awesome. So just taking in the whole thing has been fantastic. And, I can see why people want to come out and play the event every single year. It's awesome.
Absolutely. Thank you for the time. Best of luck.
You can hear
it.
It
is indeed
anxious.
Awesome. John Auville from the Sports Junkies.
Well, because he wants to get back at the table.
No, you can just hear the little anxiety in the voice.
Yeah.
But he watching it visually, he did great.
It's good.
He did say awesome a lot.
Everything is awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Although it was the most cakes thing in the world. Let me get my sponsorship in here and let me talk about my loving wife.
Yeah.
Well, the interviewer asked the same question.
She kind of did. Yeah. I mean, what do you
had to come up with two answers for basically the exact same question.
Yeah.
What do you love about it? Yeah. What are you excited about? What's awesome about it?
He did great. He's been doing great, and it's been awesome seeing everybody follow him. And everyone likes the sweat.
Yeah.
The smallest chip stack looks like is at 6,100.
All right, so that guy's going.
Like, yeah, he's going
imminently.
Yeah.
What are the? Yeah. What can you? Can you see? You can only see the smallest. You can't see the list of stacks.
Like I went through the list. There's a lot of 80,000. Cakes is going to cash.
Yeah, are there plenty under 100K?
Yeah, I can do the math. It looks like there's 17 people to go to cash.
Right.
And there's about, probably close to 100 people that are under 100,000.
Yeah, yeah, good. So they'll knock themselves out.
Yeah.
So I don't play poker. Is there any chance that Cakes can turn it around? And
sure. You can double up a few times. It just takes a couple double ups and you're right back.
I mean,
back
is that actually possible? I know it's 100%. Happened before, but for Cakes, is it possible in this situation?
Yeah, sure.
If he gets a really good hand, yeah.
Or are we just hoping that he fumbles along until he gets cashes
no,
out?
No, it's possible, but it's very unlikely. I mean, listen, the best poker players in the world pretty much don't win this tournament. Like, you got to navigate so many people. There's so many minefields. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, think about the best poker players in the world.
And they're all math geniuses.
Yeah, they're all
and
geniuses,
then there's
but they don't
cakes.
Win the World Series main event. It's like the hardest thing ever because there's 10,000 donks.
So it is possible. We're not giving
definitely
up on cakes.
Definitely possible, but I think the most likely scenario is he holds on to his stack, cashes, and then it's just a total crapshoot if he could double up a few times.
Yeah. He gets pocket aces or, you know, flops a boat or something like that.
But
someone
even
walks
pocket
into
aces
it.
Are so dangerous.
Right.
You know, you'll get
but what I'm
callers.
Saying is if someone walks into it and he doubles up a couple times.
I think Cakes just wants to cash.
For sure. It's a huge brag for him to say he cashed at the main event.
Yeah. But I think he would be, deep down, if you gave him truth serum, if he would say he could see himself getting to the 25K mark. In terms of
prize money,
I have no idea what that means. What do you have to do to do that?
You probably have to finish within the top.
I haven't looked at the breakdown, so
top 700,
top 700,
probably in the 700s.
Yeah, look,
that's doable. If he's in 900th place,
I think he's got to kind of listen. The poker purist wouldn't tell you this, but he's got to kind of keep an eye on that. Lock in your cash, right? It's a once in a lifetime thing. And then you could do whatever you got to do.
Is every player today going, lock in the cash?
No, the poker purist guys, they don't care. They're like, they don't care. They'll get it all in. They don't care.
Yeah, they're irrelevant. They're thinking about
long-term, the odds. They play in all these events.
By the way, with him playing...
The real pros don't let that affect them.
With him playing this well, I wouldn't say it's a once-in-a-lifetime. I don't think this is the only time he's going to play in the World Series of Poker.
No,
I think
especially floodgates are open. Especially if he cashes.
Yeah. I'm just saying if he cashes, he'll play again.
100%. Put it this way: if he makes 20 grand, all right. What's the name of the site?
Golf Coast.
All right, they've already made their money back. They'll put him back in there.
They already
next year.
Made their money back with back the advertising.
I'm just saying financially, they already made.
Well, if Cakes does well here, like even better. Like, let's say Cakes cashes for 50K. At that point, Cakes can start charging people to buy equity from him.
Hmm.
Like, you have to pay me $5,000
to go represent you.
To represent me and get 40% of my winnings.
Yeah, that'd be
like
awesome.
That's the ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys was saying he thought that, was it Negreanu's 10K buy-in would be worth to someone else 50K.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, that's, yeah.
It's kind of what Valdez is alluding to. But, listen...
When's the last time Negreanu put up his own money to get into the main event?
Oh, I don't know.
It's probably been years.
I don't know. He does so well, he might want to put his own money. You know what I mean? Guy like that gets such a good return on it. But put it this way. He's definitely worthy and good enough to make a deep run, 100%. But you also have to navigate so many minefields. That's why the best in the world typically don't win this thing.
Yeah.
Well, he was at $550,000 or whatever, and now he's back down to like $250,000.
And I'm sure they were just all sort of standard things that just happened.
Happens. But you can get right back up there.
Totally.
Well, let's pull forward.
I mean, one double up, and he's at $450,000 or whatever.
Exactly. All right, phone number you want to get in touch with us throughout the show is 1-800-636-1067. Mike Rizzo is going to join us at 9 o'clock. You don't want to miss that here on The Junkies.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Junkies. Coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. Remember, you can always text us on the Lido Pizza text line. Lido Pizza's a local favorite since 1955, serving pizzas, subs, jumbo wings, and salads. Lido Pizza Square, because Lido Pizza never cuts corners. For locations or to place your order, go to LidoPizza.com. You can text us at 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply.
Or call us.
You can call us.
We should have got some more calls yesterday. We just didn't.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
I mean, let's just take calls on whatever we want to talk about.
Especially online, everybody wants to talk about Cakes' run.
Yeah. Well, I can't believe that we were talking about Cakes so much that he was trending locally in the D.C. area. That's pretty freaking cool.
Hopefully.
And do we have an answer? Is day four today? Because they're 17 away from the money?
I mean, think it's today.
It's got to be, right?
Because I think the field's so whittled down.
It's got to be. Because they're probably going hand for hand now.
Right.
Well, he definitely adjusted his flight because he was supposed to come back today. So He obviously adjusted that.
Yeah.
He's going to come back a hero.
Yeah. But, we'll find out if he's
I will say that when Brett and I were doing our podcast, Mediocre Poker, years ago, and I was doing a lot of work with Phil Galfond and some of the greatest poker minds out there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys that I did a podcast with, and who was one of these like mentors for like PLO people, whatever, he final tabled it, and Brett and I went there to sweat him for the final table, and it was one of the coolest things ever. Mm-hmm. Like when you feel like you have a connection to someone that's at the final table and they're playing for $10 million, and believe me, I didn't know him that well. I just did a podcast with him. We were friendly, but. It's kind of like how people know Cakes. When you feel like you have a connection to someone, you're all in on the sweat. It's so exciting.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Can you imagine? Because it's thrilling for you, how thrilling it is for
them?
That person.
Yeah, I can't.
If Cakes made the final table, we would be doing the show from there, right?
I think we'd have to.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of crazy to even think about it, but.
I know it's a long way. But it did creep into my mind a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it crept into mind because Rom already is planning it.
Yeah.
You know, he texted me. Are you guys going to be going to the final table if Cakes makes it?
To him and Farley planning
I think
together?
Him and Brett, actually.
Oh, I saw him and Farley, but maybe.
Oh, well, I'm sure a lot of people would.
Dude, a lot of people would.
You imagine?
But it's, you know, the chances are very, very low, but. It is. If he got there, it's worth it. It's worth the sweat. It's super exciting.
What did you say the chip leader had right now?
Oh, I didn't even look. I knew they said the guy that he was sitting next to had 6.4 million.
Oh, wow.
Oh, already that much.
Good Lord. But he could have bled.
Yeah. You know, you kind of said that's this crazy. Yesterday, EB, but it struck me during his interview that he's basically been preparing for this for a decade.
At least we kind of
make fun of him, but he watches old episodes of the World Series of Poker over and over. So he's seen every hand out there. He's seen all the series. Doesn't mean that luck isn't still involved, but he kind of knows all these situations.
Luck's massively involved.
1.9. Maybe the person had 6.4 million. In tournament. Career winnings.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
So the leader's right around 2 million.
Yeah. Look, he's below average. He's got to double up a few times. But first thing, honestly, he should just hold on to cash. He has that on his resume. Look, I think it's pretty cool that if you go to Cakes' name on like Poker News, they have a bunch of pictures of him playing at the MGM. Like, Cakes has got like career earnings.
Yeah.
You know? Cakes hopefully has made you can add something to that. Like 28,000 or something in live career earnings.
Or maybe he'll get some decent hands, some good hands that he can double up at least once, and then he can really just kind of chill and,
yeah,
and get a nice payday.
Great, but I'm guessing he's not going to get too frisky.
Well, if he gets dealt a silly hand,
but
you
really
never know.
The likelihood of doubling up, the likelihood is more when you have something unlike king-king or ace-ace.
True.
You know what I mean? That's when you really can
surprise
people.
Yeah, but you can also prey on people who have stacks lower than you. So hopefully he has a couple people at his table that are more desperate.
True.
Well, just
but
like
he's
his
pretty
first,
low.
Just like his first double up when he had he flopped the boat and the guy had two pair.
Right.
So he walked into that.
Yeah.
So maybe something like that'll happen today.
Yeah.
So I assume he starts again today at noon.
I guess I don't know why the coverage didn't start till 6 on the YouTube page or whatever, but it was awesome.
Yeah.
And whoever the guys were that were doing the commentary, I thought they were really good. And like breaking down the hands and how people were playing. And
maybe Cakes will call us today at 6:45. at 6:45 his time.
I don't know. I don't want to wake the guy up.
I know. I'm sure he's
getting his rest.
It looked like he just bagged his chips when I got up in the morning an hour earlier. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it probably takes him a while to wind down. Yeah. Got to knock out a whistle.
Yeah, you know, he has a couple beers.
Yeah.
It looks like Doug Polk, Chance.
Cornith.
Cornith, yeah. We're on the call.
Oh, really? Doug was one of the guys?
Yeah.
I know Doug.
Doug Polk?
I didn't recognize his voice. Okay. Very cool.
So we'll hopefully get more news from Cakes today. All right. So the sports page is driven by my favorite team, the all-new Malloy Chevrolet of Alexandria. We're a huge spring incentive. Well, you know, we're going to change that because it's not spring anymore. It's summer. Summer incentives mean lower prices on your favorite models. Head on over. Ask for my buddy Josh Cochran. Just like I did. Make it Malloy. You can check him out online. Malloy.com. Malloy.com.
You're a pro.
I am a pro. All right, so the Nats lose to the Cardinals. All right, so they've got 5 more games left before the All-Star break. They go out to St. Louis last night, and they lose 4-2 in Miguel Cairo's first game as interim manager.
Do you do anything different?
I don't know. Shake up
the lineup?
Doesn't look like it. I mean,
of course not.
Can you do?
I mean, what else can you do?
I actually thought it was Russell that tweeted this yesterday. I thought he had a great observation that so far of the two moves, the Cairo one is more of the same.
That's what I said.
Yeah, and then the maybe if they stick with DeBartolo, maybe there's a little bit of a change there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sort of in philosophy, possibly.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
But the Cairo, I mean, baseball's baseball.
I mean, the 37-54. I mean, this year is obviously dead. They're not going to make any crazy run to try and, you know, get to 500 in the second half. That's just not going to happen.
I don't think so.
And Cakes and I are going to lose our win total bet. But last night, C.J. Abrams had a couple hits. Jake Irvin started. He gave up 4, walked 4 in 6 innings. So he wasn't great. Went against Sonny Gray last night. Sonny Gray was much better. He got his 9th win. Brendan Donovan's good. He's left fielder for the Cardinals. He hit a 3-run bomb. He's hitting about 300. He's good. So anyway, so they lose 4-2. Did Mikel Cairo have any post-game audio we can play? Is that?
Oh, well, they had pre-game audio about.
Oh, he did.
About Davey.
Can you play that for me?
Yes, I can.
All right, let's hear it.
Is that where he was crying? I heard he was crying, or he was crying in the office at some point, but Davey gave him the go-ahead.
Mm-hmm. The only approval, the only blessing that I need, it was from my friend Dave Martinez, and the reason I'm doing this right now, and I take the job because I got his blessing. And if he would have told me no, I would have gone home with him. I would have go to see my family. But he told me to do it, you know, continue doing what we start, and I'm gonna miss him today. But you know, the relationship is always gonna be there. I know him for so many years, and our families are very tight, and I relief. I wouldn't do it without his saying. It means the whole world. I wouldn't accept the job if he wouldn't say no. That's why I stay back. I didn't want to leave without talking to him.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta respect that.
Absolutely. So anyway, so they'll get back at it tonight in St. Louis. A couple of the notes from baseball yesterday / last night. The Yankees pounded the Mariners 10-3. Judge hit his 34th. And Cal Raleigh, both starters in the American League All-Star game, Cal Raleigh, catcher for the Mariners, hit his 36th. I mean, they're just putting up stupid.
Did Shohei yesterday or the day before hit 31?
Shohei's got 31.
He hit one last night.
Yeah.
Although they lost their fifth in a row, and they lost in Milwaukee. Milwaukee's got a rookie pitcher who's just, he's like 6'7". He just throws gas. Jacob Mizorowski. Mm-hmm. He was a second round pick, I think, like 3 years ago. Committed to play at LSU, but he signed with them, with the Brewers, and he's just been really good. He's 4-1 with a 2.80 ERA. He got the win last night. Struck out 12 Dodgers. So the Dodgers are on a little bit of a losing streak here. The Orioles lost to the Mets, but Jackson Holliday, man, he's just a totally different hitter, Valdez, this year.
Coming into his own.
Couple of hits, including a home run. I believe that's home run number 12.
Hold on. Who was this, you said?
Jackson Holliday.
Oh, okay.
Yep. But they did lose 7-6 in extras last night. So a couple of interesting things from the major leagues. Also, we got to talk about, man, the Wizards, they just don't stop. They traded Kelly Olynyk, who they acquired a few weeks ago, and they traded him for a couple players and a second-round pick. So they traded him to San Antonio. They're going to get Malachi Branham and Blake Wesley, who were both first-round picks in 2022, but barely play. And then they also get a 2026 second-rounder. Olynyk, of course, is 34, and he was here for about 2 weeks. He was a part of that C.J. McCollum-Jordan Poole swap between the Wiz and,
well, somebody
and the
Pellies. Somebody put out there, I don't know if it was Standig or somebody, if you, when you look at the glut at like the 3-4 position, whatever, I mean,
there's
it's
a million
wild.
Of them.
There's a million of them.
Yeah.
And they got to get rid of a bunch more still.
You're right.
So I said, I look at it as Lord of the Flies, and we'll see who emerges as the best. I think this is almost safe to say. If you get traded to the Wizards and you're over 25, you're not part of the long-term plan.
Probably not.
In fact, if you're over 22, there's a chance you're not part of the long-term plan.
Yeah, it's probably true. I don't know. I was having this discussion with somebody yesterday on the golf course about it, though. You're just, when you go this route, you're committed to years and years and years of losing. Now, hopefully there's a payoff where you could go on a 7 to 10 year run, but we are committed to losing for years.
Or you get lucky, right? Because Detroit was on that same path and they didn't go years and years and years. They went
a pretty long time.
And Houston.
They had a bunch of picks.
True, yeah, but
Detroit went
a good 5 years.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Right. But he's making it sound like 15 years.
Oh,
well,
no,
I'm
no.
saying like
and the
five,
Houston,
six,
the Houston
seven.
Rockets, the Houston Rockets went a little bit less than that. So maybe if you just got to get lucky and these guys got to really start producing in year two and three.
It's not the path I choose. I say it a million times, but this is where we are.
All right, Wimbledon.
Let me just say the key is hitting on the mega superstar.
Right.
That's what it's all about, and that's why they get distraught.
That's also luck.
It is luck, but that's why they get distraught when they don't make it. I mean, if you look, now they weren't as bad as the Wizards, but the Mavericks landed Luka, and then within 2 years, they're in the playoffs. You know what I mean? You gotta hit like on that guy.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't hit rock bottom with like 17 wins, but they were a 24-win team. Then they drafted him, got the 33. Then they get to 43, and they're making playoffs.
Right. I mean, they get the one in a million guy.
Okay. Well, I mean, when you're tanking,
I think
you got to get that guy.
Yeah, but I think it's unlikely. I mean, just to bank on that, there has to be that guy available, you know? And then you can't be like one pick short. Like, it's just, there's so many things. If
I mean, maybe, I don't expect this, but maybe Alex Saar develops into an Anthony Davis type player and can lift you up.
Let's hope.
By the way, the summer league games are, you know, starting. Wizards start on Friday. There's going to be a game coming up between the Lakers and the Mavs. They say it's the most expensive summer league game in history because it's Bronny versus Cooper Flagg Plus, you know, those teams engineered the trade where Luka comes to the Lakers.
Today?
Anthony Davis goes.
I don't think it's today.
Tickets are going for an average of $201.
They're basically
day one of the Vegas Summer League. Which
they're paying to see
tomorrow.
Cooper. Bronny was terrible last night. Bronny had a bucket.
Yeah. Uh-huh. 2 points in 15
I'm tired
minutes.
Of talking about Bronny. No one's going to see Bronny. They're going to see Cooper Flagg. That's why they're paying $200 a ticket.
That's true.
They play Thursday night.
Yeah. And the Wizards start Friday, correct?
Yes.
Friday. Hey, real quick, Wimbledon, they're in the quarterfinals, so they'll be whittled down to the semis today. On the men's side, Sinner will play Ben Shelton today. Now, we got to kind of wait to see. This is supposed to start at 9:30. You have to wait to see what Sinner's elbow issue is. Yesterday, he had an MRI, or maybe it was 2 days ago, he had an MRI, and I'm sure they already have the results. They just haven't told the media. But he had an indoor practice yesterday, so he didn't want the media or fans to see him. But he's supposed to play Shelton today at 9:30, so we'll see there.
So Shelton's girlfriend is Trinity Rodman. That's what's kind of gone viral or whatever. That's like the most I think I know about Ben Shelton. That's it.
He's fun.
That's my file.
You know, he serves at 200 miles an hour, right? I mean
he's fun to watch.
I assume all the last couple of years.
He's an athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, Sinner does too. I mean, Sinner, he can serve.
You know, his dad was a pro.
But we'll see what his elbow's like. But that's today at 9:30. At 10, it's going to be Joker against Coboli, the Italian. That's at 10 o'clock. All right. So Fritz is already into the semis. He won yesterday. And then Alcaraz, he smoked Nori in three sets. So he's in. So Fritz will play Alcaraz in the semis tomorrow. On the women's side, still have an American. All right. Her name's Amanda Amanasova. And she is, her parents are Russian, but she was brought to New Jersey when she was young, her and her sister. And she is going to play Sabalenka. So Sabalenka and Amanasova both won yesterday. Today, Andreeva will play Bencic. Okay. Andreeva's 18 years old. She's Russian. Fun to watch. And Swiatek will play Samsonova. So kind of expect Andreeva and Swiatek to advance there. But you got one American left on the women's side in the semis, and you've got possibly two on the men's side.
Very cool. Remember, we got Mike Rizzo joining us at 9 o'clock, the former Nationals president of baseball operations and GM. He'll jump on at 9. Right here on The Junkies.
Welcome back.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buck Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Remember, 9 o'clock, exclusive interview with Mike Rizzo, former Nats GM and president of baseball operations. Very nice of him to agree to join us after he was fired. So you don't want to miss that coming up at 9 o'clock. Also, tomorrow is a throwback Thursday. Mm-hmm. I know that Bish Bucks is putting together his playlist.
It's hard to come down with just 11 songs, but trying to mix it up a little bit.
EB, you missed. It was kind of chaotic, but we had Sacktown Mike on the show.
Oh, yeah. How's he doing?
He's doing well.
Same old, same old.
Yeah, he was funny.
We had Sacktown on with Rom and Brett, and I'll pull back the curtain. The reason why I booked Rom and Brett is I couldn't count on Sacktown to call in, and he actually did. So it worked out well. So that's tomorrow, a throwback Thursday.
I wanted to mention that a friend of Jason and I's, a fellow stag, a fellow terp, Timmy Strachan passed yesterday. And for people that don't know, just a little background, most people do know Timmy around here. Timmy was a legend, right? DeMatha legend, played basketball and football, had a full ride to Penn State and a bunch of other schools to be quarterback. And, of course, he got paralyzed at Bethany Beach in 93.
Mm-hmm.
The classic kind of like diving into a wave deal.
Yep.
Ended up graduating from the University of Maryland. I believe Maryland at the time honored their scholarship offer to him, even though he had committed to Penn State and became a huge part of the football program. I think he broadcast football games for like 22 years there. Of course, he was wheelchair-bound, but he was just a legend in the area, became a lawyer. He worked for the FCC. He did stuff with the Senate Judiciary Committee. I mean, the guy was just a titan, and he overcame so many obstacles. I can't say that he was a good friend of mine, but we were friendly whenever I would see him in the grocery store. Or both of our daughters played softball. We'd see each other in softball fields, and we'd lament about how long these doubleheaders were.
Because he lived over near you,
he lived over in that area. I'd see him at the grocery or getting a haircut or, you know, whatever. I'd see his wife and him. I think he had at least two daughters. Just a great guy, a legend. And then he had been battling cancer. I know he'd been in the hospital. A buddy told me they saw him, and just like, how much can a guy overcome?
Mm-hmm.
So he passed away at the age of 49, a true legend, and someone that I think anybody that's ever encountered him just walked away inspired.
Yeah, good dude, good family.
Family's very popular in the area.
I didn't know Timmy real well. I played against his brother. His brother played at St. John's when I was back in Damatha. So it's just a great family. I think they had some other brothers too.
There's a bunch of them.
So thoughts and prayers to that family.
Yeah. Just terrible news, and thoughts and prayers for the family, the kids. Just awful.
But he certainly maximized his life.
If
you put yourself in his shoes, I mean, there's basically two directions you can go. And I think the easy direction is give up on life.
I would have gone in the toilet.
Right?
But that guy stayed a beast. Broadcast for 22 years for Maryland. I know he was big in the high school sports still. Very, very close with the math and everything going on in the WCAC. In fact, somebody told me an anecdote the other day. I was actually at the golf course, and they were saying they had just visited Timmy. And, you know, within the last few months, I think it was toward the end of the football season, and he insisted on leaving the hospital, even though he's battling all this stuff, because he wanted to broadcast that game, you know, online.
Very cool.
Just an absolute stud.
Yep.
So, thoughts and prayers to that family and everybody that knew Timmy, for sure.
Really good family.
I don't know if JP mentioned it this break, but we are, again, having Rizzo on at 9. And it's a can't misser. I appreciate Drab for reaching out to him. It's one of those awkward deals, right? Guy gets let go. But we've had a long-term relationship with Mike. Mike agreed to come on. I don't really think he's doing a lot of interviews, guys.
I think he's just doing this one.
Yeah. My understanding is it's kind of the only one he's going to do, at least for now. Listen at 9. We'll ask him all the pertinent questions. I do get kind of annoyed when people think, you guys just going to ask softball questions? Let me just pull back the curtain. Not. We will ask all the pertinent questions, but when you have a 10-year relationship with someone, or you have a radio relationship with someone, and they're coming on with you every week, you can't just hammer them. You have to develop a trust with them, right? And you have to manage that relationship. When the point comes where, you know, you need to ask the tough questions, of course you do that, but you can't just hammer the guy week in and week out. You gotta, you know, manage that relationship and do that in a way that's fair to both sides.
I get
pissed when people say, are you just going to ask softball questions? It really bothers me.
I feel like we asked them the tough, pertinent questions a few weeks ago after the Davey comments.
Of course.
Yeah.
When push comes to shove and we need to.
Look, he's a fiery Italian. He's gonna answer what he wants to answer. But if you get him into that mode, he'll give you something.
Yes.
So, he's going to be fiery this morning, I bet.
Yeah, but I don't think people understand that you can't just get a guy on, have him on every week, and then just take an S on him or expect him to S on his players or his owners every week. It's just not realistic. Yeah. They're not going to do that. But when it comes to critical moments like this where there's been a movement or... Of course we're going to ask the hard questions. Of course. It's kind of insulting to think otherwise. But Mike will be on at 9 o'clock, and we do appreciate him doing that.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he agreed to do it.
I'm kind of surprised, too, to be honest with you. I appreciate Drab asking.
Yep.
Because, you know, nobody wants to leave when it's not on their terms. But unfortunately, in sports and in radio, you don't get to leave on your own terms. Usually, 9 times out of 10, you're leaving on somebody else's terms. So
the Mystics played the Chicago Sky last night. Drab, are you still as fired up about the Mystics not having Angel Reese? She put up 22 points and 15 rebounds against them. Now, the Mystics won the game, but...
My understanding is she's been playing better. Like, actually playing better. She's always been a rebounding machine.
I saw a tweet from somebody yesterday that said, because the game was at Eagle Bank Arena in George Mason.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a tweet that said, every time Angel Reese touches the ball, every single kid here in the arena starts screaming in cheers.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's what the Mystics missed out on when you put Michael Winger
she's
on notice.
Certainly a dynamic figure, a force. She's one of the most recognizable players in the game, right?
No doubt.
She's got to be top three.
Of course.
By the way, I saw that Paige Bueckers is maybe the leading candidate in just sort of like polls for Rookie of the Year. I have no idea what she's doing, though. Is she actually putting up numbers, or is she just being, she's just still
no,
popular?
Paige is very, very
she's
good.
She's doing great.
Ironically, I think that the people who are second and third in Rookie of the Year voting are on the Mystics.
Oh, the Mystics.
Well, yeah. Citron.
Paige is averaging 18 points and 4 assists.
Mm-hmm.
Or 5.5 assists, actually. 4 rebounds,
there you
5.5
go.
Assists.
She's having
Paige
a really good
what,
year.
Right around 6 foot? Is that what she is?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe 5'11".
Yeah. She's not like some giant.
She's listed at, I think she's listed at 6 foot.
Yeah.
But anyway, Angel Reese, in the loss, put up 22 points, grabbed 15 rebounds, went to the free throw line 15 times.
Yeah. It is interesting that, you know, when you're in a league that's desperate for attention, that you wouldn't draft one of the most marketable players in the game. It is interesting.
And then the person you drafted isn't even a starter.
Yeah.
She came off the bench, Aaliyah Edwards, and scored 8 points.
The group that drafted her, they're all gone now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they've done a house cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All those guys. I mean, we interviewed a couple of them. We were over at Monumental or whatever.
I guess the question would be, would you rather be 5-13, like the Chicago Sky, with one of the most marketable, popular players in Angel Reese, or would you rather be 9-10, which is what the Mystics are?
I don't know. I guess you would want to be the better
record. I think I kind of want the marketable player.
I think you want to have the better record at the end of the day. I think you do.
You got to build around Angel Reese.
But neither one's probably going to win a championship at this point.
Yeah.
So, which is the ultimate goal. So maybe you can make that argument.
All right. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always hit us up at 1-800-636-1067. Coming up next, what is Cam Newton saying about Jaden Daniels?
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.